All right. I'd like to begin by asking each one of you to close your eyes and take in a deep cleansing breath, filling yourselves all the way to the pelvic floor, letting it be a nice, easy, deep breath. And on the out-breath, letting go of the day, releasing all cares and concerns, all thoughts of other things, clearing your minds, and opening up to the energies and frequencies that we send to you as we take this time together to interact, to exchange ideas, and to reach new levels of understanding about our lives and the plane on which you live. All right. First thing we want to talk about. One of the most important things to remember as you participate in a channeling like this is to remember that you don't really know. To bring a sense of innocence. For if you sit in the idea that you've heard all this already, you're already defeated before you've even begun. This plane is the plane of the obvious. It's a plane of relationship, and a relationship with the obvious, which is what you participate in on a daily basis. One of the most basic and fundamental things that gets bypassed on a daily basis, one of those obvious things, is that this plane is not a plane of reality. This is a plane of illusion. And the purpose of this plane of illusion is to fool you. That's its function. So that you as a soul could come down here and experience your thoughts in a sequential and slower manner than you would were you still wholly and totally in the higher realm. This plane is meant to fool you. It's meant to create in you a belief in its reality. And like that movie, The Matrix. Think about, if you've seen this film, think about your initial responses, about why it is that they could do some things and not others, and why they didn't immediately know they were in The Matrix. Why did they buy in? Why do you? Because the information that is being bombarded in your brains every day is convincing you that it's real. And each time you interact with this plane as if it's real, you lose an opportunity to ground yourself in the real reality and to operate effectively with your daily life. Now, what do we mean by that? Everything on this plane, the only reality, in one sense, the only reality of this plane is that everything on this plane is a symbol for something that's real. Everything on this plane is a symbol for something that's real. That's the only place that the things of this plane gain their reality. Through what they symbolize, which is why it's so important not to take things for granted here. And when we say take them for granted, when you look at a situation in your life that you've had repeatedly over and over and over again, and you ask yourself, why doesn't this change? I've done all these things. Why hasn't it changed? It's because you're dealing with the thing and not the real thing. You're dealing with the symbol as if it were real, rather than as a symbol for something real. And in dealing with the symbol as if it were real, it engages your emotions. I would suggest to you that probably 75% of the difficulties you experience in your lives are a direct result of dealing with things at an emotional level. It would be important to know that if you have not studied Divine Will or the Wraith, to understand that we're, as a group, humanity, as a group, is passing out of the influence of the sixth ray, which is the will to cause. And what this ray does is create flowing emotions. But if those flowing emotions meet chaotic thoughts, they don't create flow. What they create is steam or fog. We have a name for this steam or fog. We call it glamour. And a glamour is your emotional attachment to this illusion and to having this illusion produce for you manifestations that you want. There's your hook, the things you want. And it gets all steamed up because of the emotional attachment and because of the chaotic thoughts. As light workers, you are all rapidly moving towards the point in your lives where it becomes imperative for you to do foundational work. And what do we mean by foundational work? We're talking about learning basic awareness. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What are your attitudes? And what are your beliefs? We talk about this quite regularly, but it bears repeating. Most people feel they know what they think and they know how they feel. But we would suggest that that's not really the case. Thoughts are buried behind a barrage of other things, things you fill up your lives with. And when the thoughts do surface, half the time they're not even yours. It becomes really important to dedicate yourselves to knowing what you really think and to knowing how you really feel. And we'd like to take a moment to define the difference between feeling emotions and feeling senses. Because there is a difference, and we don't often use the words emotion and feeling interchangeably because they are not the same thing. Emotions are reactions that are created in response to your thoughts. Feelings are impulses sent to you by your soul. They are always uplifting, informative, enlightening, and in some way, they improve your life, even if it is only momentarily. Those are feelings. Emotions, for the most part, are a different type of thought, a charged thought, and they are in response to your thoughts. Emotions don't come first, your thoughts do, which is why it is that we advocate over and over for people to become aware of their thoughts, what their thoughts really are. Where do you begin with this? How do you begin to know what your thoughts are? One of the most important things you can do is to take any area of your life where you feel stuck and begin to write out, allowing yourselves to relax, setting a space and a time where you won't be interrupted, and allowing yourself to do what we would call a free association. You simply sit and write up every thought that comes up. Take the time to listen and let the thoughts come up and write them down. I suggest to you, once the dam is open, you may find yourself challenged to keep up with it, because you'll find as soon as you open the door, all of the thoughts you're really thinking will come flooding through, and you will gain a greater sense of why your life looks the way it does in whatever area it is that you're looking at. Another common casualty of believing in the earth plane is having a sense of powerlessness to change your lives. If you don't understand the connection between your thoughts and your emotions, your attitudes and your beliefs, and their impact on how and what you get in life, you can't begin to change it. It's imperative to know those thoughts and feelings, those attitudes and beliefs lead to creating choices from which you make your decisions. So your thoughts and your feelings, your attitudes and your beliefs are the raw materials through which you co-create your life with your soul and occasionally with other members of the higher realms. Now, that's not given to mass thoughts and mass creations. Those are a different category. But we would suggest to each of you that it becomes increasingly important. The closer we move to 2012, the more important it becomes to have clear thoughts and to know what they are, to have flowing emotions which are in harmony with your feeling senses. It becomes incredibly important to know what your attitudes are, because your attitudes are the lens through which you view your world. Your attitudes are the lenses through which you view your world. Your attitudes color everything you experience on this plane. It's important to know what your attitudes are. They are an important part of the raw materials from which your life is created. And your beliefs, they give the weight of all the thoughts and all the certitude that you collect inside of yourself, all of your desire to know and understand your world, and they take the weight of that and they move you in specific paths and in specific directions, and they direct what it is you receive. Tell you, and you've probably heard this before, it's not that you'll believe it when you see it, it's you'll see it when you believe it. You'll see it when you believe it. Things cannot come into your experience unless at least some fractional part of yourself believes that it's possible. If you do not believe it is possible, it cannot enter your life. And when we say believe it's possible, we're not talking about, well, anything is possible. That covers up a lot. That particular statement covers up a lot. Because underneath are reams and reams of doubt. I would suggest to you, too, that if doubt is where you sit, doubt is what you create. Now, we want to talk about the fact that time is moving faster. It's not just an illusion, it's the truth. You've all experienced it. You all feel, possibly, depending on how sensitive you are on a day-to-day basis, that things are going faster and faster and faster. It's because they are. 2012. Let's talk for a moment. Now, you may or may not be familiar with prophecies in the Bible. What's called the chapter or the book that's called Revelations. And we're not suggesting that that's something you need to run out and read and believe verbatim. It'd be really important to understand that the Bible, like all other religious texts, has the truth veiled and hidden. And it's important not to read them as literal so much as esoteric and metaphorical. Religious text is metaphorical. It's meant for you to search for the true meaning, to have the desire to understand. There's a particular line in the New Testament we like a lot. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. What was Christ talking about? Ask. Open up your minds and ask. And that brings us to the third area. Open minds. Comes back around to innocence and what we think we know. would suggest to you that most of what you think you know is a belief. A knowing. What is a knowing? What is knowing? Knowing goes beyond beliefs and thoughts. It goes beyond emotions. And it can even surpass attitudes and beliefs. Because it is. Knowing is. And there are places inside of yourselves that know. And how buried or hidden that place is depends on how open you are to hearing the voice of your souls. Knowing is a true and clear recognition of your connection to everything. That is knowing. And through knowing your connection to everything, you begin to realize that you are separate from nothing and that you are part of everything. We are coming into a time where it becomes really important to understand that there is nothing separate on this plane, that everything on this plane is intimately connected. It's already been proved mathematically by your scientist Einstein, who proved that everything in this known universe is relative to everything else. That's what that theory means, that theory of relativity. What it's saying in fancy language is that we're all one, we're all connected. And it's been proved, just as Einstein proved there is no time. That stuff that's running faster, that doesn't exist. And it's an interesting thing because time is an artificial construct. It was put in place so that the beings on this planet could experience their thoughts sequentially. It would probably be safe to say that things ran a little amok and didn't work out quite the way God planned. But God is ever flexible, changing, and dynamic. And so the plan changes and grows and expands right along with it. One of the things we want you to take away with you tonight is that what you experience in the coming years will be, in some sense, a highly individual experience. In an agreement for this to be so. Even though you can work in groups, and we encourage this, and we would tell you that it's a powerful way to navigate the flow of the coming years. But each person will experience these changes in their own way, which is why we advocate so strongly for lightworkers and people of good common sense to spend the time to get to know yourself. Because as time speeds up, so does your manifesting, so do your creations. And you'll be creating faster and faster out of a well of knowledge which you may or may not know about. A well of beliefs, a well of ideas and thoughts and emotions and attitudes that you may or may not be aware of. It gets really important to be aware. Get to know yourselves. Know who you are. Know what you really think. Can't emphasize the importance of that enough. Because in the coming times, as time moves faster and faster, what you don't know about yourself will manifest in front of you with ever-increasing rapidity. Would advocate strongly that each of you develop your path to dedicate yourselves and to devote yourselves to your growth, to help yourselves navigate through the coming times. Now, why is this winter solstice perhaps a little more important? And we'll put quotes around that. Than some of the previous. Well, we'll tell you, because this winter solstice marks the first year of the last octave before time changes. This is the final octave of years before time as you know it changes. So you have 8 years starting with this winter solstice, an octave. And would suggest to you that if you understand how cycles work, that those seeds which you plant in the first and beginning note of the octave will circle around to you through all the intervening phases or cycles and come back to you when the octave is completed. So it becomes very important to begin to think about what kinds of seed thoughts you want to plant this winter solstice. What kind of experience do you want to work through those cycles? And what kind of fruit do you want to see those cycles bear? I'd highly recommend that they contain elements of joy and growth, the highest and best you can think of, because it's going to set the tone for that cycle of 8 years. That cycle that is ever diminishing and going faster and faster, and like an octave, begins at a lower frequency and ends at a frequency precisely that interval, that octave, over the beginning note. So what you manifest in this first cycle, and when we say manifest, we mean set up for creation, will physically manifest in that final year. And so we feel it's important for each of you to be giving some thought to this about how you want to set that cycle up for yourselves. Would suggest to you that if you are clear in your thoughts and feelings, in your emotions, in your attitudes and beliefs, from which you make wide open choices, from which you can make enlightened decisions, it won't matter what the rest of this planet experiences, you will experience what you focus on. You can create your own oasis, even in the midst of chaos. Not that we're predicting that. We don't like those projections. We're thinking higher and better. But we want you all to be prepared. Mass thought carries with it a lot of weight. You've got a lot of people focused on things coming to a horrible end. You have only to look at 9/11 to see what kind of things your mass thought and your society is capable of creating. You look to your films, you look at how many people have energized it, you look at that event not as a sudden occurrence, but as a manifestation of something that's been energized for years and years and years by mass thought. And mass thought is beginning to enter a cycle where time is going to continue to speed up. And so the creations will come faster and faster and faster. It becomes imperative to have those who are anchoring the light, holding high thoughts, broadcasting clear, high, fine emotions, full of faith and trust, full of optimism in their attitudes. You have a job to do, each one of you. And you'll all accomplish it in your own way. But you do have a job to do. You came here for a purpose. Would suggest to you that people that came here during this time frame and who are seeking the light and growing and expanding in every way came here for the purpose. One of your primary purposes is to anchor light on this plane, to hold high, fine thoughts, to broadcast ideations of unity and diversity, which leads us to our next favorite topic, tolerance. One of the keynotes for this octave and one of the saving graces be your ability to expand into tolerance, to open your minds and your hearts to include diversity. That includes diversity of opinions and thoughts, diversity of attitudes and beliefs. The degree to which you can open your heart and expand to include the rightness of everyone you meet, you are doing a great service, a very great service, each time you open up in tolerance. And what kind of tolerance are we talking about? We're not talking about the I can put up with you because XYZ tolerance. Talking about tolerance in the esoteric sense. That which includes, that which can expand sufficiently to include. Can you expand sufficiently to include whatever it is that's in front of you? To look at it and recognize your oneness with it, to own your connection to whatever it is you're looking at. Which kind of leads us right back around to kind of where we started. And about how it is that everyone's your mirror. And about how you're all connected and you're all related. And about how everything on this plane is a symbol for something that's real. We're going to pause now and take time to open the discussion for questions or any thoughts and concerns you might have before we continue further. Undoubtedly, there'll be many things happening on these days. We'll tell you that a lot of that depends on the trend of the mass thought. Again, you all co-create. You don't just create your own lives, you know. And you all know this. You co-create together, which is one of the reasons why we emphasize the importance of working together in groups and the importance of working as individuals on your own individual issues. Every thought you have is either part of mass thought or is not. Now, is there anything going to happen on those days? We have a saying in the higher realms, and it's called nothing's certain till it happens. And until then, it's a good idea to hold a high focus. Because what you focus on increases. And the more the people increase on the idea that it will crash, and that it might crash, and that it's going to crash, and then even inevitably, you put enough of those thoughts into the basket, it will create. Is it going to create on those dates? It doesn't look likely at this time. We're not reading the energies that way. We'd say you'd do better to be asking yourselves what's happening on August 27th. And to transmit, whatever way that translates out for you. Those of you who are familiar with divine will, we do well to transmit. That's a potent and powerful day. There's going to be extremely potent energies flowing onto this plane on that particular day. Highest and best. Focus on the highest and best. Imagining that this day, that's one of the amazing things about a focus. If enough people focus in the same direction, you can create wonderful things and wonderful miracles. Sometimes you teeter on the edge between miracles and what you on the earth plane might call disasters. In the higher realms, it's all growth. And it's all good. It's important to carry a sense of cold eyes as you view the events around you. For every time you respond to the emotion that is portrayed in the news and in people talking about events and things happening, you're energizing that. You're adding the power of your energy to that. And if you talk about it, you're adding the power of your voice. The truth of the matter is, whether you recognize it or not, whether you believe it or not, your voices carry great power. It's so important to think about what you say, what you are energizing, and what kind of energy are you bringing. Each time you use your voice for good, to say something uplifting, empowering, something positive, high, and loving, you add the power of your voice to those energies. And each time you energize drama and trauma, upset, or any of the other lower qualities, you're adding the power of your voice to that, too. It becomes really important to understand that each one of you are responsible, and to the degree to which you are able to have powerful lives is the degree to which you are able to respond with responsibility to the things that are presented.